Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, I think you always fall back on this. This is that sort of Lutheran axiom, the fulcrum on which Catholicism vaults itself forward into the Reformed era. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, really, it says, "For grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. You can't do it. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And do you see how important it is to read that scripture in light of talking about fasting and remembering and doing, and God said, don't forget all of these things, right? And then back to the motive of the heart, and I think I may have read this out last week, but I'll read it again. Psalm 51 says, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So the psalmist and the other prophet, Isaiah, and the teaching of Jesus Christ, and the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, and Paul's letter to the Ephesians, coming together, saying the same things. God prepared good works beforehand. In Christ, God created us, God's works, and God's people created, that we should walk in the world loving him and loving others. In Isaiah, God tells us to share. He tells us to take away the yoke, right? That means set beast of burden free. He says, pour ourselves out for others in need. He says, turn back from going our own ways and seeking our own pleasure or talking idly. I'll say that again. God tells us to share, to take away the yoke, to pour ourselves out for others in need, to turn back from going our own ways or seeking our own pleasure or talking idly. This is fasting. It works on any day and not merely in a Lenten practice. It is the lost spiritual discipline of the 21st century church. Have you ever been taught how to fast? Do you have any idea about the practicalities of starting, going through, or breaking a fast? Do you have medical concerns that would affect whether or not you would fast? You consult your doctor. You don't just get a religious kick and endanger your health. But for most healthy people, if you were going for a surgery that involved your digestive system, the doctor would put you on a fast and make sure that you were cleaned out so they could take care of business. But for some reason, Christians think fasting, no, that's a Catholic thing. That's back in the old days. That's what they used to do when they were practicing asceticism. And that's when people were hurting themselves in the name of the Lord, because suffering is good, so pain must be better, right? But that's not. And the teaching of Scripture is that it does happen. Jesus says, when you fast. And Isaiah says, fasting isn't about the food. Fasting is about the calibration. It's about the living in line with what you know God to be. It's about the reminding yourself, as you're reminding yourself why you do it, who you are, and what you stand for. The purpose of living life in a way we know that God desires. It's practicing knowing God through prayer. It's reminding ourselves by the most basic means. It's employing the pangs of hunger to remind us to pray. And it's a discipline that God bears witness to. So Lord, reflecting on that, reflecting on your word, reflecting on whether or not it's a thing, I think for all of us who are seeking you, to be near to you, we know that Christ is the reason we may come walking right up to you. There is nothing about us that keeps us from you, God. And so if this Christian discipline is in fact useful, it's to remind us what we already know. And every time we think, oh, I like a piece of toast, that we would stop and go, I remember I'm fasting, and God, hi, I'm thinking about you again. We think about the practice of that Brother Lawrence guy who practiced your presence as often as he could remember it. And we who are not monastic and we're not set aside in the way that that person lived that life, we can in fact remember you as often as we hunger. And Lord, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we desire that you would draw near to us. So regardless of how we would practice being reminded of your presence and to walk worthy of the calling to which we're called, we do pray that you would meet with us, each one of us, as we consider how to remind ourselves of you more often in our lives, how to walk worthy, how to answer the call. And please do these things, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.